Good morning. And we just want to welcome each one of you here this morning to the Family Bible Hour. And if any of you are visiting with us this morning, want to give you a special warm welcome to Bethel Gospel Chapel. The last few weeks and months, we've been looking at the book of Joshua. And today, we're going to look at chapter 20. And there's only 9 verses in this chapter, so it is good to for us to maybe read. I don't know whether Rob can put that up on the screen. But anyway, we will read those 9 verses, so we'll have an idea what we are talking about this morning. Joshua chapter 20 and verse 1 says, and the Lord also spoke unto Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, appoint out 4 you cities of refuge. In other words, international version says, tell the Israelites to designate the cities of refuge I instructed you through Moses. And if you read Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 35, verse 1 to the end of that chapter, you will find a little more details than this. So this is repeated when the children of Israel got into the land of Canaan, and when they possess the land, and God is reminding Joshua what he already commanded in Numbers chapter 35. So verse 3 says, so that anyone who kills a person accidentally and unintentionally may flee there and find protection from the avenger of blood. When he flees to one of these cities, he is to stand in the entrance of the city gate and state his case before the elders, so that the city, then they are to admit him into their city and give him a place to live with them. And verse 5, if the avenger of blood pursues him or go after him, they must not surrender the one accused or took refuge in that city, because he killed his neighbor unintentionally and without malice, or without the intention. In other words, in Deuteronomy, there was an example that the Lord gives to the children of Israel. He says, you go into the woods to cut some firewood, and you're using an axe. So the axe came off the handle and accidentally hit someone else standing beside, and you kill this man or woman. Then that means it was an accident. It was not intentional killing. So God makes the difference between murder and manslaughter. And that's what we find it. So Joshua chapter 20 and verse verse 6, he says, he is to stay in that city until he has stood trial before the assembly and until the death of the high priest who is serving at that time. Then he may go back to his own home in the town which he fled. And verse 7, so they set apart Kadesh in Galilee in the hill country of Naphtali, Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim, and Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the hill country of Judah. And on the east side of the Jordan of Jericho, they designated Bezer in the desert on the plateau in the tribe of Reuben, Ramoth in Gilead in the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan in the tribe of Manasseh. And verse 9, any of the Israelites or any alien living among them who killed someone accidentally could flee to these designated cities and not be killed by the Avenger of Blood prior to standing trial before the assembly. May the Lord add His richest blessing upon the reading of His precious word. Now this morning, briefly, from reading this, we know what the story behind this commandment. So, I just want to look at a few things this morning. First of all, we want to look at the permission for these cities, number one. Number two, we're going to look at the purposes of this, the purpose of these cities. And thirdly, we're going to look at the provision of these cities. And then we're going to look at the power of these cities. And then we're going to look at the position of these cities. And finally, point number 7, the pictures in these cities. So for your convenience, they all start with the letter P. You remember that? The permission for these cities, the purpose for these cities, the provision of these cities, the power of these cities, the position, and the picture of these cities. First of all, I just want to mention this morning, what a picture in this chapter God has provided for us in the salvation that any sinner can have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the purpose. So, you know, when you read from the book of Genesis, throughout the scriptures, through the Old Testament, and all the New Testament book until the end of the book of Revelation, the plan and purpose of God is from day one to redeem mankind through His Son, the Lord Jesus. And that's why we read in places like 1 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to be studying after the book of Joshua, and chapter 1 and verse 15, it says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation." In other words, it is true and it is trustworthy saying and deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And the Apostle Paul says, "Whom I am the chief of sinners." If the Apostle Paul was saying that he was the chief of sinners, how much more this morning you and I can admit before a holy and righteous God that we are guilty sinners. They point a clear picture of the salvation that is to be found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter, when he was speaking to the Jews in the book of Acts chapter 2, and he said, "You have taken this Jesus and crucified Him by wicked hands. But," he says, "God has raised Him from the dead and exalted Him to the right hand of God, seated in the heavenlies." So then later on in chapter 4, he says, verse 12, he says, there is salvation in any other. And we are reminded that the Apostle Paul in Timothy is reminding him that there is only one God and there is only one mediator between man and God, that is the man Christ Jesus, that he came in to save sinners. So there was permission given from God to appoint these six cities of refuge for man. And we're going to look at some of these and say, you know, some of the atheists and some of the other people in the world, they accuse us Christians and the Bible and the Lord's people and say, your God is a cruel God. He just to sit there, just to punish us. But what we're going to find is, on the contrary, God is a holy and righteous and loving and merciful God for everyone. And that's what we see in these pictures. First of all, the purpose of this city was, they were serve as a reminder that Jesus, as these were place where a man could flee in the time of desperate need. So Jesus is a place of safety for the guilty sinner. Remind us that this morning, because the book of Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul reminds us this morning, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through whom? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. And before that, they were to serve as a refuge for the guilty man, the guilty who were found guilty. And that's what you find in Numbers chapter 35 and verse 19 to 21. If you have time, go home and read Numbers chapter 35. You see the detail. And if you don't have time for that, please take this yellow bulletin. In the back of that, Sonia Idima always do a very good job. She put a lot of work into it, and she explains some of the details on the back. So just look at this and don't throw it out. Always read what is written in the back. There is quite a details there. So they were to serve as refuge. The law was given to Israel by Moses in Exodus chapter 20, and then also chapter 22, the punishments were given to people who disobey the commandments of God. You see, when God gave the commandments to the children of Israel, there were no police force like we have in our society today. It was just the leaders and the high priest. They were to hand out the sentence whoever broke the law. So the law was eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. If you burn somebody, you should be burned. Wouldn't you like to have some of that kind of a law in our society today? But we don't. And that is why even the scripture reminds us, because the punishment is not right there, that the man is hurrying on to do more sin. And this is a typical example that we see in our society today. Somebody break the law, they go to the court, the judge sent him to prison. If it is 2-year sentence, he get out before 6 months is over. So then he's on parole. What is the first thing he does? Go and break into another house or do something so he can get back to prison. And that is the law that we have today in our society. But in the children of Israel, if you put somebody to death intentionally, that was murder, and it says there, your life is required because of that. What's wrong with that? That is justice, isn't it? And that's what God instituted the commandments in the Old Testament. So they were to serve as a refuge for the guilty, and also a reminder that I mentioned, a place where a man could flee in time of desperate need. Secondly, not only the permission of the cities and the purpose of the cities, let's look at the provision of the cities. They were provided by whom? They were provided by God. Because man did not come up with the idea for the cities. God, in his mercy, provided a way of escape from the wrath of the avenger. You see? So is our salvation. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus, who provided your salvation and my salvation? Who is the source? The source of our salvation is provided by the mercy of God and the grace of God in the person of his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus. Ephesians, the Apostle Paul reminds us, by grace are you saved, and through faith, and it is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Lest any man should boast in his presence. You know, one of the things that all the other religions of the world is boasting is they do something on their own to merit God's favor. Brother Luke and I was talking this morning at a coffee time, and he says, Christianity is the only way that provides for humanity mercy and grace. You take Islam. Allah is a big grandfather sitting with a big stick, and anytime you do wrong, boom. And Hinduism is the same way. They fear all their gods, 333,000 of them. And that is why they go to the temple and do sacrifice, because they're so scared something terrible is going to happen. But look at the God of the Bible. It's the opposite of all the other gods of the religions in the world. God has love and mercy and grace for sinners. And that's why you and I are here this morning, because of the mercy and grace of the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul, when he was writing to Titus, he says, after the kindness and love of God towards man appeared, not with the work of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. You see? So throughout the scriptures that you see that it is all God's work and God's provision. And so we see that the provision is provided or made by God, and so is our salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. They were all not only provided by mercy, but they were also provided by grace. God could have allowed all of us, just the same as the manslayer, to die like any other person who had taken a life. However, in his grace, he made a way that he might find refuge and help. So is with us. It is all God from start to finish. He initiates the process. He provides the means of salvation, and he saves those who believe. Romans chapter 10 reminds us that whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus with thy mouth and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Simple as that. There is no complications. God has provided a way. All you and I had to do is trust and believe and obey. They were not only provided by the mercy of God, but also the grace of God. You know, one of the things that I probably mentioned this before, the God's plan of human salvation eliminates all human efforts. It's Romans chapter 3 reminds us, it's eliminate human plan. 3:21, the Apostle Paul says, it eliminates human privileges. His 3:23 reminds us that it eliminates human purpose and also eliminates human power and human prejudice and human presumption. What a wonderful salvation that is, because no work of God involves man. So man could say, yeah, you sent your son to die for me, but I had to do something to earn my salvation. No. It is all of grace and it is all of God. And you and I have nothing to do with it, because God planned this salvation for you and me even before the foundation of the world. So then we are looking at the purpose of these cities, the provision of these cities. Let's look at the power of these cities. They had power to save the manslayer, was given a place and protected him from the avenger of blood. And this morning, so is with the Lord Jesus. They had not only the power to save, but they also had the power to secure that guilty sinner. As long as he stayed within the city, he was safe. When the high priest died, he was free to return his home. There is a distinction, there is a difference between our salvation and this one, because you notice that he was only free upon the death of the high priest. But our high priest, when he died on the cross of Calvary, he freed you and me and everyone else from the bondage of sin because of Calvary. And not only that, the writer to the Hebrews reminds us this morning in chapter 7, unlike the Old Testament priest, the Lord Jesus, our high priest, he is ever liveth to make intercession for you and for me. He was dead once, but he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now he is seated at the right hand of God making intercession for you and for me. He never dies again. That's why the Apostle Paul, Apostle John in the book of Revelation says, I am he that liveth and was dead, And now I am alive forevermore. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Praise the Lord this morning. We have a Savior who is living forever, for all eternity, for you and for me. And you know, when the Lord Jesus was here, he told his disciples, "My sheep hear my voice. I gave them unto them eternal life." And what did he say? No one can pluck them out of my hand. And he said, "My Father who gives them is greater than all." So no one can pluck them out of his hand. See, look at that. Double, triple security insulation for you and for me in the salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus. Once you accept the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, you are eternally secure and saved. Saved for all eternity. Praise the Lord this morning. Unlike some other people teach, and they say, you are saved, but it is up to you to keep your salvation. You have to work at it every day. Well, if that is the case, to begin with, I couldn't be saved to begin with, because I couldn't keep up the law. But the Lord Jesus, the Apostle Paul reminds believers that Christ was under the law, that he saved you and me from the curse of the law. And when the fullness of time was come, God sending forth his Son to redeem us from the curse of the law. So this morning, the salvation that you and I have in the Lord Jesus is eternally secure. And not only that, they had power to save, they had power to secure, and this power was sufficient for their need. And what about us this morning? The Lord Jesus is able to save anyone that comes to him. The writer to the Hebrews reminds us to save to the uttermost, and he never turns away anyone, because that's what he reminds his disciples in John's Gospel chapter 6. He says, "All that the Father hath given come unto me, and I will in no wise cast them out." What a wonderful Savior we have in the Lord Jesus. Okay, let's look at, move on, the position of these cities of refuge. They were available to all, no matter who they were or where they were. You notice that it is not only for the Jewish nation, the Israelites, but any stranger, any of the others that living in the land. What a wonderful picture of the salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus. So there were three cities on the east side of the Jordan River, and then there were three on the west side of the Jordan River. So these were located in such a way that they were, I think you can see the map there. So there is a Jordan River, and then there were three of them on the east side and three were on the west side. Jesus is available to all, no matter who you are today and where you are. It doesn't matter what your past is, what your present is, but he reminds us this morning, call upon the name of the Lord while he may be found. And the Apostle Paul, writing the Corinthians, is chapter 6, he says, today is the day of salvation. Today is the accepted time. And salvation is of the Lord. And they were not only available to all, but they were also accessible to all. They were very prominent on the cities, because these cities were built on the hill. You know, in the history of the Middle East, if you go there, most of the cities were built with the houses were with the limestone. So even at night, you can see those places because of the moonlight hits even in the dark and the sunlight. So they were built on the top of mountains and easily seen from miles away. They were also prepared. Preparations were made for the safety of the manslayer and guaranteed security. The roads were never clogged and clear from all obstructions, and they were always open. And the sign pointed to the cities, it says in Hebrew language, Miklat. That means city of safety, city of refuge. And no matter what time of the day or night, the gates on the city of refuge were never closed. The direction was never clogged. There was sign posted in every direction. So is the salvation with the Lord Jesus. As you go through this book, every page is pointing to the salvation of the sinner in the Lord Jesus. And he is the fortress. He is refuge. He is our shelter. And not only in the time of trouble, but also continually in our life, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus. And if you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus this morning, he is inviting you. He is the one that told in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, he says, all your labor and heavy laden, come unto me, I will give you rest. And he says, my burden is light. And he offers pardon for sin and salvation for your souls. And those of us who know the Lord Jesus, as I mentioned this morning, we are not on parole, but we are commissioned to go out and pointing the sign to the Lord Jesus. That is your responsibility and my responsibility if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus. Because what did he tell his disciples after he was risen from the dead? He says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel and teach all those who believe to observe whatsoever I commanded. And his last words to his disciples was, behold, lo, I am with you even to the end of the ages. What a wonderful Savior you and I have in the Lord Jesus. Now let's move on to say pictures of these cities. And there is a picture in the name of these cities. You know, in the Old Testament, when people gave names to people, it meant something. Not like in our society today, we pick any name. Some of the names, you don't even know what it means. And the same thing with the places. They were meaningful because God commanded the Israelites through Moses the names of these cities. They paint a wonderful picture of the provisions of God through the Lord Jesus. Okay, number one, Kadesh. It means righteousness, a refuge for the unclean. So is with the Lord Jesus. God says in 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul writing the Corinthians, he says, chapter 5 and verse 21, God made him, that is the Lord Jesus, sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. So this morning, if you are here, we were discussing that little bit in the morning meeting, talking about our Redeemer. Brother Frank mentioned it is a perfect redemption that we have in the Lord Jesus. And we sang a hymn, the stanza pointed out then, that I may find standing in glory, in the presence of the Lord, only through his righteousness alone, not my own. The Apostle Paul reminds us of that in the book of Philippians, when he writes to the Philippians, not my own righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ. The next one is a Shechem. Shechem means shoulder, a refuge for the one lost in the wilderness. Isaiah reminds us, if you read the book of Isaiah chapter 9, he says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And then he says, the government of God shall be upon his shoulder. That is the Lord Jesus. So there is a refuge for the one lost in the wilderness of sin. And the third one is Hebron. We know it's a familiar name amongst us. That means fellowship. Fellowship means sometimes we think it is eating and drinking. No, that's not what it meant. First John, when John writing his epistle, he says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, the Lord Jesus. Because of that, you and I can have fellowship with each other. So the Hebron means a refuge for the lowly sinner, that the Lord Jesus Christ. And the next one is Bezer, that means a fortress. And the book of Hebrews in chapter 6 reminds us of the anchor you and I have in the Lord Jesus. We have an anchor, sure and steadfast, and we have this blessed hope that in the Lord Jesus. So he is the refuge for the helpless sinner we can run into. And the next one is Ramoth, and that means heights. The book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul reminds us that not only God saved us by his grace, but he also has exalted us and seated us with Christ Jesus in the heavenlies. What a privilege. If you know the Lord Jesus this morning as a believer, you are seated in the heavenlies with the Lord Jesus. So a refuge for the wretched sinner. And finally, the name, the picture is golden, and that means joy, exaltation, exuberant, a refuge for the downcast. And the Lord Jesus is the joy of our salvation. The Apostle Paul, when he was writing in Philippians, he says, what did he say? Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say, rejoice in the Lord. No matter what circumstances you find yourselves in, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus this morning, you and I can rejoice despite of all our circumstances, because he is the one that promised that I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus Christ yesterday, today, and forever, he is the same. There is a picture in their necessity. Without these cities, the innocent people would have died, but their existence is guaranteed and their safety. John chapter 3, we all know that verse. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, that is the Lord Jesus, should not perish but have everlasting life. And in the same chapter, scriptures reminds us, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the sin, but through him that we might be saved. And the one who believes on the Lord Jesus, the wrath of God abideth not. In other words, he is free from eternal punishment and death. What a wonderful salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus. There is a picture in their necessity, but there is also a picture in their nature. They were there because God cared. They spoke of the love and mercy and grace of God. Whoever accused of God is saying that he is a terrible God, he is looking only for punishment, there is proof. Who provided the city of refuge? God did. Who was the designer? God was behind it. How did he provide it? It is by his mercy and by his grace. 2 Peter, the Peter reminds us that God is not slacking with any of his promises, but he is waiting for any sinner that come to repentance. And the Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the Romans, chapter 5, he reminds us that Christ died for the ungodly. God commendeth his love towards us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for you and for me. What more can God do for you and for me as wretched sinners separated from him? God has provided a means of salvation for the wretched sinner through the Lord Jesus and through his death on the cross of Calvary. Praise God for Calvary this morning. And we can all shout and sing, if you know the Lord Jesus this morning, hallelujah, what a savior. Hallelujah, what a salvation. Hallelujah, what a God that we serve. And these through these short 9 verses, God reminds us this morning the wonderful salvation. Christ is our Savior. Christ is our strength. Christ is our satisfaction. Christ is our security. Christ is our sovereign. And Christ is our sanctification. And this morning, if you are here, you believe the Lord Jesus and you are saved, you can rejoice in the salvation of God. If you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus invites you this morning by the power of His Holy Spirit, come to Him and trust Him for the salvation. You know, there is a little story in the book of Samuel. I don't know whether some of you remember that, but there was a man called Abner, and he was killed. But he was at the gate close to the city of refuge, and David later and I tell him, you died as a fool. All you had to do was get into the city of refuge. You could have saved your life. But you died as a fool. And perhaps some of you do not know the Lord Jesus. You are that close to the city of refuge, the Lord Jesus. And all you had to do is step in and you could be saved. So I invite you this morning, if you do not know the Lord Jesus, accept Him as your personal Savior and be saved. Perhaps we could sing, I think it is, Since Jesus Came Into My Heart.